The president's lawyer has legal problems. The owner of the National Enquirer could, too. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, has admitted to arranging for the parent company of the National Enquirer to pay $150,000 to former Playboy model Karen McDougal. This was to essentially buy her silence over her account that she'd had an affair with President Trump, which President Trump denies. The idea was American Media, Inc. would buy the rights to the story and then just sit on it. But prosecutors say this coordinated effort wasn't just about one story. The publisher agreed, according to court papers, to look out for stories, plural. Now, paying hush money isn't necessarily illegal, and sitting on stories isn't necessarily illegal either. Richard Berfault is a professor of legislation at Columbia Law School, and he says the legal problem is that these coordinated efforts helped the Trump campaign.
They become a contribution to the campaign. That's, in a sense, the allegations, the other allegations involving Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. In addition, the Enquirer is a corporation, and corporations are not allowed to make campaign contributions.
So this is all an issue because buying the silence of people that the president's possibly had an affair with is a form of campaign contribution.
I mean, that's the claim. That's the argument, is that if in the context of which it was occurring.
Do we expect then AMI, the publisher of the National Enquirer, to possibly be charged with something over this?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the prosecutors need to be sure they have the evidence, and the evidence obviously would have to go beyond Cohen's own statements.
Do you think that this is an anomaly, or are we just lucky to be seeing a glimpse into something that actually happens? Like, do you think this kind of coordination between a corporation and campaign actually happens regularly?
This does seem unusual. Like this is both an unusual media company and an unusual relationship. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So I'd like to think that this is very unusual.
Richard Berfault, professor of legislation at Columbia Law School. Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning.
My pleasure.
The president was asked about a possible impeachment vote based on these and other allegations in an interview airing this morning on Fox News. Here's what he had to say.
I'll tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor.
And let's actually check in on those numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 16 points. That's less than 0.1%. The S&P 500 is down less than 0.1%. The NASDAQ is up about 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is creeping down this morning. It's at 2.82%. Jobless claims are also out this morning. 210,000 people in the United States filed for unemployment benefits last week. Joining us to parse that number is Drew Mattis, Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
So jobless claims, 210,000. That seems very low.
It is very low. If we think about how many people there are in the workforce, and we're only seeing 210,000 people file for unemployment insurance, it's remarkably low. In fact, you could argue maybe it's even too low.
Why do you say that? Why could it be too low?
Well, what it suggests is that firms may not be letting go of their weaker performers. If people aren't being laid off, then they're not being driven out of their current job. It means that firms are very cautious that if they lay someone off, they might not be able to replace them with someone of similar quality. So I think there's a little bit of labor hoarding we're seeing in the data.
Is there a broader economic ramification for that hoarding of labor?
It's not allowing people to go to the job that they might be best at, so that there is a somewhat negative effect potentially on productivity because firms aren't shifting workers into their best use. They're sticking with what they have instead of what they need. And on the flip side of it, people are staying in jobs that they probably should walk away from in order to, you know, find jobs that would maybe pay better or use their skills in a better way.
Drew Mattis, Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
There's nothing quite like a home-cooked meal. But in most states, they are illegal to sell, at least. That may soon change in California because of a bill under consideration by state lawmakers this week. But not all home cooks are celebrating. Some in the cottage food industry worry the bill will pave the way for Silicon Valley companies to Uberize home-cooked meals. KQED's Sam Harnett reports.
In a little kitchen in Oakland, there's something illegal going on. Illegal and tasty.
So this is tofu here. This is tofu and mushroom. And you eat the soy sauce. Very simple.
Hai is a Vietnamese immigrant. He and his husband Joe sell simple Vietnamese meals to their neighbors for around 15 bucks a pop. Hai and Joe don't want to use their last names because they could be fined up to $1,000 or even serve 6 months in jail.
Well, it's always in the back of your mind. But if it happens, you know, if we get a citation, then we'll stop and wait for the new law to pass.
The law in question would allow cooks to sell homemade meals from their houses as long as they met certain health requirements. They could sell over the internet through sites like Facebook and Airbnb. And that worries Christina Oatfield of the Sustainable Economies Law Center. She says this bill would allow big companies like Airbnb and Uber to dominate the home-cooked food market. And those e-commerce platforms could squeeze profit from cooks and turn them into low-wage gig workers.
We're definitely in support of decriminalizing homemade food. Again, it just shouldn't be on the tech company's terms.
Tech companies like Airbnb have been lobbying for the bill to pass. The measure was initiated by a home-cooked food service company called Josephine, which went out of business in part because it couldn't navigate health laws. Matt Jorgensen co-ran Josephine and says the fear that home-cooked food will become Uberized is overblown.
I do worry about where platform capitalism is headed, but I think that it's sort of naive to think that we're going to be able to solve capitalism's ills in a food bill.
Hi. Yes, sir. Can we
assemble? Back in Oakland, Hai and Joe are cleaning up, preparing for their next meal.
So what are you making next time?
Next time, banh mi hap. Banh mi hap.
It's an open-faced banh mi sandwich Hai's grandma used to make. It's popular with his neighbors, and soon Hai hopes he won't have to risk fines or jail time to serve them one. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.